Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Trained eye that says something like that. This guy's an incredible player. You know, twice in two seasons, he's been the best player on this planet. You can't just say, oh, make him a score. That's not how they play. They have so many different actions that just get you compromised. And he requires you to do many things the hard way. He has our full respect.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
When I was at Fordham, I covered a lot of local teams in the area and would go into locker rooms afterwards. I was like a college kid. It was really awesome. And like talk to Knicks players after the games and Giants players after the games. I never liked interviewing Michael Strahan because like everyone says he's a great guy. But when the Giants would lose, he wasn't the nicest to members of the media. Stephon Marbury was kind of a jerk. I did not like Stephon Marbury. There were some like ornery athletes that I had to deal with, ornery coaches, where I was always like, if I ask this question, even though it's a good question, I feel like I'm going to get my head bitten off. I feel like Eric Spoelstra definitely falls under that umbrella.
Yeah.
Like
Spoelstra, and they won.
He was, and it's a, it wasn't like they won. They beat Denver on like December 9th. They beat them in game two of the NBA finals, but not the series up in a game apiece. And he's like, the question wasn't even like 30% of the way through being asked before he was just like, you know what? Let me tell you this.
And she asked it great. Like she got it too. She was like, I know this is really simple, but just like help us understand. Like that's like she approached it the right way too, where it was like, I'm not taking, like, I know this, how this sounds, but like everyone's to her credit, like that's what everyone was talking about after the game. Everyone, like Jokic's record when he scores 40 or more points, like he's winless in the playoffs when he has 40 or more points this year. So like she asked the question that everybody was talking about. It was she tried to put it as delicately and like did everything right, lined up everything perfectly, and he still just breathed fire basically throughout the entire thing. It was really funny.
She was like a gnat like buzzing around his head, and his solution to the gnat was to shoot a nuclear missile at it. Like the scorched earth on this innocent question from Ramona Shelburne last night. But and again, like Ramona Shelburne and Eric Spoelstra coming back from break from the post-game press conference from game number two. But she brings up an interesting point and maybe something that will, you know, factor into potential bets for game number three and maybe beyond. And for people that miss this, you know, Jokic scores 41 points in game number two, only has 4 assists. And the prevailing thought is, and I have said on the show, I don't watch basketball in this way, like the way I watch.
So like
the
way different than game one.
And a lot of assists. Yeah. Yep. Right. And only had 3 field goal attempts in the first half of game one and controlled the game, et cetera. So this is a different type of game. And the thought coming out of game two, and again, like I'm not the person that sits and watches basketball like this, but it seems like it makes sense on paper and everyone's saying it that I think is really smart, that Miami basically wanted to take the passing away from Jokic and turn him into a scorer. So he scores 41 points in the game and the Heat end up winning the game, obviously. And to Ken's point, the Nuggets now 0-4 when Jokic scores more than 40 points in the postseason. So that it's not what you want if you're the Denver Nuggets, even though Jokic obviously played unbelievably. So as we spin things forward to Wednesday night's game 3, Jokic's points prop has moved up a full point. It had been 27.5 through the first two games of the series. Now we're at 28.5, and Ken, at least at BetMGM, this is juiced to the over, so maybe it's not done climbing here. So I think a lot of people are going to say, okay, like Miami's just going to keep doing this because why not? Like, why wouldn't they keep doing this? Let Jokic score 40-plus points if it means Miami can win and Jamal Murray doesn't go off and Michael Porter Jr. maybe has another clunker. So what do you think about Jokic's points prop and that kind of analysis coming out of Game 2, that Miami's okay with letting Jokic score a billion points? They may think that that's their avenue to victory in the series.
Yeah, maybe. And it's worth noting, because I think this got really – I was thinking about this after the game, too, about, like, man, like, was that really a strategy? Like, did they do that? Or was it just that, like, a lot of Denver players missed potential assists, right? Like, Porter didn't shoot very well, and Nuggets in certain key situations didn't shoot very well. Like, was it that they were definitely doing that with Jokic, or was it just the guys were missing? Kind of, what was it? It's worth noting in Game 1 – like, he didn't shoot very much, but he got to the line a ton. So really, like, possessions where he scored or got fouled was really high, and he still had 27 points. So it's not like he was, like, had 10, and then he had 41. It'd be like, oh, they decided to just let him score. He's like, kind of scored really well and been really efficient in both games. And that, to me, might be why somebody's betting the over on Game 3. It's just, it's been two games, and he's been awesome in both games. So, like, why wouldn't you bet on him to keep being awesome? Why wouldn't that happen? I think one thing that's really dangerous, and it happens a lot when there's like a big, when it's the Super Bowl or when it's the NBA Finals or when it's, you know, the college football playoff championship game, is like, I think all of us have to remember, and kind of like that Spoelstra-Ramona interaction, like, we all have to remember that, like, we're not the coaches, and, like, it's fun to think like a coach. It's fun to be like, I would do this and I would do this. But it's when that turns into, I'm going to make a bet because this team's going to do this, and, like, that's going to be the adjustment, or that's going to be this. It's all occurring at, like, such a high level that my brain cannot penetrate what is going to happen in terms of a strategy in the next couple games. Like, maybe they're going to do the same things, but this wasn't even what they wanted. Maybe the Heat actually wanted something else to happen by running these defenses. Like, they played a lot of zone. Maybe they wanted, again, just it's all happening at such a complex high level that, like, my advice to people, unless you are, like, literally a basketball coach or something, or you have, like, that level of insight into what's going on in any sport, actually, would be, like, to not bet based on, like, I think the coach is going to do blank. And in the Super Bowl, we do this too, because, like, it's fun to talk about, like, well, I think they're going to cover this receiver with this corner, and then this other receiver is going to have it be like, I don't think that's actually how it's going to happen. Like, I think everyone on both sidelines knows what's up and, like, knows what's going on. So I think, like, there are good reasons to bet props. A lot of times it's like, hey, like, if Tyler Hero comes back, what's impacted? I know there was a report earlier today that he maybe is, like, concerned about interrupting the team, that disrupting the team's rhythm, so he may not want to come back. But, like, that would be something where it's literally, like, the minutes and the shots have to be impacted because another guy's playing. Okay, my brain can get that one. Like, I'm good with that one. Or a guy's not going to play, this guy's going to play, whatever. Or, like, the market keeps not changing how it's rating a player, but the player continuously exceeds that expectation. And, like, Caleb Martin in the Boston series would be a really good example. Like, these are simplistic enough that I think
Odell,
we can bet
Beckham
them and feel
on
like
the Rams road to the Super Bowl also,
right,
for
which
an
we
NFL
bet every week.
Example.
Yeah, which was a great job by you, like, at the start of that, being like, I think this might be a thing, and we rode that all the way to the last game. So I think that's, like, a really good example of, like, I think we can bet that and feel okay that we know what's going on. All this other stuff about, like, are they going to employ the same strategy? And then the part about this that I would always remind people is, like, there's two sidelines here. This was true in the Lakers series. Remember, Hachimura guarded Jokic. I brought this up after game one. Hachimura guarded Jokic in game one, and everybody after the game was like, that's the fix. Like, that's what it is. And Malone got so mad about it, like, in all the sound, because he was like, you know, like, we saw it too. Like, you think we're not talking about this stuff? You don't think we have a plan? So, like, we don't know what Denver's adjustments are going to be. We don't know what they're going to try to do. And then Miami, and this could all be in the first quarter, and then Miami's going to adjust to those things, and we're just going to keep playing it back and forth from there. We're really going to assume we know. So I think, honestly, if there's interest in Jokic's over, I think it's for, like, a really simple reason. In both games, he's been an incredibly efficient, awesome scorer and player. And, like, that doesn't seem likely to slow down because he's the best player in the league and the Heat don't have anybody that can guard him. So, like, that's easy. I got that one. But just in terms of, like, will it be more scoring than assisting? Will it be more assisting than scoring? I think anything else would be a guess, even no matter how kind of well-trained in basketball we all are.
And to listen, my basketball eye, not especially well trained. I'll tell you what I would never do. I guess, well, I guess the price could make it that I would want to. Yeah. I would how do you click that button?
That's a tough button to click. That's a tough
one. How do you click it? How do you click it?
Least clickable button right now? Is that the least clickable button? No, A's money line. A's money line is probably the least clickable button right now. You clicked it a couple times tonight. You really? You do? You like him?
It's our guy Robux on the mound tonight. JP Sears for Oakland. He's actually decent. Coming off a good quality start last week against the Braves. I like the first five under in that game. But I thought about betting Oakland.
Yeah. So they okay, maybe they're I was like, who do they have tonight? I forgot because I know they played the Marlins. God, they're at Pittsburgh. What a terrible baseball series.
And Pittsburgh's a huge favorite in the game.
Yeah, you know what the least clickable button is? The remote to watch that game. That's actually the least clickable button.
Well, I mean, if I bet on it, maybe I would actually put it on.
MLB TV and be like, all right. You're like, all right, let me click on Astros Blue Jays. Oh, no. No, not Pittsburgh, Oakland. it's like I clicked the wrong one. Oh, God. Yeah, Royals, Marlins. There's another winner. Oh, man. Yeah, I agree with you on Jokic unders. Just like, you know, if they're going to be priced about the same. Sure, he can go under because, like, it can be a blowout and he doesn't play as much. That's the easiest explanation. He can get hurt. He could get in foul trouble. He can miss a lot of shots. But, man, of the four things I just said, like hurt, foul trouble, blowout, missing is the least likely one of the four.
Yes, yes, unbelievable. Yeah. He's amazing, man. I kind of want to, like, take this and do the Astros Blue. I think that is such an interesting series, Astros Blue Jays. If the Blue Jays can keep it rolling, can Manoa finally get off the schneid tonight? I don't know if I want to bet on it. We'll talk about that coming up in the power hour, final hour of the show. But just on Jimmy Butler, while we're talking points props here, and we talked about this, Ken, prior to game number two, where there was a two-point adjustment down for Butler points prop following what he did in game one. And he goes under again in game number two, scores 21 points in the Heat's win in game two. So his points prop for game three is the same as it was for game two, 25.5. And again, for context, had been 27.5 in game one and basically like this entire playoff run, like the whole series against the Celtics in the Eastern Conference final. This is a little bit more of a tricky one, right? As Miami comes home, a couple days off for Butler here. I think it's probably a stay away. Do you have any thought, like would you play Butler at all, points prop in game three? 25.5 is the number.
I mean, God, 25.5, you said? So that's...
Yep.
God, I mean, he's gone under that, like, 10 of the last 12 games or something. Yeah. Well, not that much. Under 25.5, he's gone under, like, 6 of the last 8, I think, something like that. Oh, man. That's an easier button to click. The crazy thing about last night is... So my first thought is, like, I don't know if I really want to play it. Just because maybe something's actually just like structurally wrong and this is just, it's just going to be tough for him the rest of the series. I guess that's possible. And has a ton of assists too. He had 9 assists in game two. So he's kind of making up for it in other ways. Man, that like should have been an over game for him last night. He shot way more, took 5 more field goal attempts. He got to the line. It's like kind of remarkable that he didn't go over upon further review. I don't know. I would not bet the under. I would bet the over or not bet it. That's how I would view him in game three.
All right, 2 hours down, 2 more to go here on You Better You Bet. Coming up in hour number 3, a ton of National Football League. Get your buckets ready, everybody. 8 of them, in fact. Coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.